The Hawaiian Kingdom was neutral in the American Civil War by proclamation of Kamehameha IV, but that didn't stop islanders from taking part on both sides. Each one of their stories is an exciting adventure that could easily have been lost to history, but for the effort of local researchers like Hawaii Pacific University history professor Justin Vance and his colleague Anita Manning, co-authors of the chapter on Pacific Islanders in the book Asians and Pacific Islanders and the Civil War. The book is a National Park Service publication. They'll be talking about it Friday evening at the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument, and Justin is with us this morning. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
We've been sort of following the progress of this book and you folks' contribution to it, but now it's out and it's going to be in Hawaii schools. That's a welcome presence, isn't it?
Yes, yes. One of the things I'm most excited about is since the students of Hawaii are required to study U.S. history anyway, this book really and this chapter, especially for Hawaii, helps tell the story of what the Civil War and American history has to do with them.
And given that this was an island kingdom far from the U.S. mainland, what business did anybody from here have taking part in that conflict? You would think that people would have considered themselves well out of it, right?
Yeah. Well, two things. One is there was already about 40 years of relationship between the United States and Hawaii by the time the Civil War started in 1861. The other part was the American Civil War affected people all over the world. One of the largest conflicts, if not the largest conflict of the 19th century, and it had a lot of international repercussions.
We were talking before the show about why it didn't become a world war, that it could easily, certainly the First World War had as much excuse as the Civil War to become a global conflict, and it did. But somehow the Civil War remained contained within the U.S. mainland.
Yeah, very true. In fact, the American Revolution in many ways became a world war, a war fought all over the world when the European powers joined in. And so it could have very easily happened during the American Civil War, and it was good for the United States, of course, that it didn't, because we were able to work out the issues for ourselves and then continue on as a stronger country.
Kind of shows what a fragile republic we were for our first 100 years, doesn't it?
Very. You know, we take for granted the majority of the countries in the world today are democracies, but in 1861 there was only one democracy, and it was only 84 years old.
And we inspired quite a few. That's one of the things I think that Americans forget is the capacity of this country to inspire others, because it certainly did happen as almost a domino effect.
Yeah, one of the results of the Civil War, one of its many results, is that it proved that democracy could endure.
Yeah, yeah. In Lincoln's words, well, how did so many people from what kind of things brought people from Hawaii to the conflict?
Hawaiians were traveling all over the world, and they were especially traveling to New England, between the United States and New England, as part of the workers in the great whaling fleets of the 19th century, which used Hawaii as a home port in the Pacific, but most of the ships were from New England. And so many of those sailors were available for service on the east coast of the United States when the war started.
And going on a sailing ship in the early 19th century for a Hawaiian was a great ticket to a living, adventure, travel.
Yeah, definitely adventure. There were limited options available. Plantation work was not pleasant. It was one of the economic opportunities available to them. And then once the war started, of course, the whaling fleets were largely destroyed by the Confederate Navy. Or at least afraid to leave port, and so that meant they were looking for other opportunities, and so many of them joined the Union Navy, the Union Army, and even some of the Confederate Navy.
What determined whether they joined one or the other? Just geography?
Probably geography, yeah. And you'll see that with most people in the Civil War. The number one determiner which side you joined was your geography when it started.
We tend to think of wars, we describe wars so often in terms of the ideology that drives the conflict. But down on the ground, it's not always the case, is it?
No. Although the Civil War has been shown that a great factor was ideology on both sides. But yes, people go to war for many different reasons. in addition to ideology, including economics, adventure, or just, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Where did you find the material to build up this story? You know, we knew that there was participation from Pacific Islanders in the Civil War, but I don't think anybody knew how much until you folks started really digging in that area, yeah?
Yeah, well, actually, maybe 15 years ago, people really didn't know mm-hmm. there were Pacific Islanders in the American Civil War. And even after we knew there were, finding the individual stories, yeah. the biographies that are in this book about some of those people was mm-hmm. very difficult. It had to be reconstructed from some letters written by people who mentioned the Pacific Islanders in their letters, because they normally didn't write themselves, or we haven't found those.
Mm-hmm.
So letters, their military records themselves, which their place of birth was recorded, and some of their service, the history of their service. Often, though, their name is not recorded accurately. Their Polynesian name is not recorded, and so they have an anglicized name that they served under.
There might be something in a letter like, we had three Kanakas on board for the journey, and that might be the only clue you get, right?
Yeah, and one of the stories in there is about the storming of Fort Fisher, where an embedded reporter from the New York Times with the Union Navy writes about four Hawaiians who volunteered to take part in the assault.
Mm-hmm. And what happened with that story?
Well, of course, that's the assault that's successful in January of 1865. But the embedded reporter is very impressed with their bravery and their willingness to volunteer for mm-hmm. a very dangerous mission, which comes back to your question about why did the folks like these maybe serve? And we can't know for sure, but it seems they were motivated.
Yeah. Weren't some of the very last shots fired in the war? Fired in the Pacific, because didn't it take a while for word of Appomattox to get out here?
Yeah, that's correct. The Confederate ship Shenandoah was the last Confederate command to sort of know the war was over. They didn't get official word until August 2nd of mm-hmm. 1865. Of course, this is even months after the last Confederate army surrenders in June.
Yeah.
And they're the last command to surrender in November 6th, 1865. There were 10 Hawaiians serving on board the Confederate ship when it surrendered.
At the same time, thinking of the Hawaiian kingdom, it was very important that the kingdom remain neutral, because there are just enormous economic interests to be lost if you side with one or the other, right?
That's correct. So the king, Kamehameha IV, made a very wise choice in declaring the neutrality when he did in August 26, 1861.
So it was a mess that the Hawaiian kingdom was well out of by that time.
Yeah, and immediately it wasn't that clear on what to do. Of course, the European powers struggled with their response as well. But it was definitely wise to take a neutral position to stay out of the conflict, one, and two, to make sure that the economics were disrupted less, although they were still disrupted here in Hawaii.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Justin. Dr. Justin Vance is a professor of history at Hawaii Pacific University. He and Anita Manning are co-authors of the chapter on Pacific Islanders in the book Asians and Pacific Islanders and the Civil War, which they'll be discussing Friday evening at 6 p.m. at the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument. Park historian Daniel Martinez will moderate the discussion, and you can find out more on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.